Alright, last session for today, and we have in our midst Apostle Joshua Selman. Amen and amen. Alright, and I mean, I've said this several times. I believe that I believe that God, through him, is showing a different, let me put it this way, order of ministry that could only have come from a place of intimacy with God. Because it's only intimacy with God that gives you the courage to follow a pattern that, you know, may not look like what everybody else is doing. And you get the type of results and fruits that we see in his life and ministry. So let's rise our feet as a welcome to the rostrum, Apostle Joshua Selman.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amazing. We thank God for what he's done and he's still doing in this conference. I believe that for someone, God brought you here to inspire you, to show you what your life can become when you remain yielded. Hallelujah. That you did not just come to watch, but you came to be inspired. Please allow me, before I get to my session, while I came in and I sat there, I just sensed a very strong burden to do an altar call. And it kept burning in my heart, and I knew that someone was ready to make it right with Jesus. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. He didn't just love the world, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It says that whosoever, there are things God gave that he will say he gave unto some. But when it has to do with the business of salvation, he says whosoever believes, that person should not perish. It's a law that if you do believe, you will not perish, but you will have life everlasting. The life God gave us is beyond everlasting. It is his quality of life. I want to invite someone here who is an apostle. From the start of this conference, the words have been burning like fire from within my spirit. And I know by the Spirit of the living God that this is my time, this is my moment. I want to give you a minute or two. If you are in this auditorium, wherever you are, let me ask you to summon the courage, leave your seat, and come stand right before me here. It's my joy and my honor to lead you to Jesus. Let's honor them as they come. Don't allow anyone to be the first. Leave your seat. Come to Jesus. Let's celebrate them. The Lord is convicting someone. A brother convicting a sister. And those are the overflows. Please make sure you do respond. Let's keep clapping, Covenant Nation. Come to Jesus. The Bible says that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have life everlasting. John chapter 3 and verse 17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Let's keep clapping until they come. God bless you. God bless you, my brother. God bless you, my sister. Thank you. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible says the word is nigh thee, in your mouth and your heart, the word of faith that we preach. That if you will confess the Lordship of Jesus, believing that he was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. It says, for with the heart man believes unto salvation, and with the mouth man believes unto salvation. With the heart he believes unto righteousness. Is someone still coming? Is someone still coming? Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. God bless you. Keep coming. I'll lead you very quickly. I see a number of people coming from outside. Let's celebrate them as they come quickly. Hallelujah. Now, just a moment. Let me explain something whilst they are coming. The only way to the kingdom is to acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus. He is the key to the kingdom. There are the keys of the kingdom, but there is only one key to the kingdom. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, he says, and I am the light. He says, no man cometh to the Father except through me. He called himself the door. Hallelujah. And so I want to celebrate all who have come here standing before him. The Bible says, if you are not ashamed of him before men, he will not be ashamed of you before the Father and his holy angels. And by the way, let me encourage someone who is watching from across the nations. This is your opportunity to make Jesus Lord of your life. Now, beloved brothers and sisters, thank you for responding to this call. Let me request that you lift your right hand high above your head as a sign of surrender. Say this from the depth of your heart, believing as you confess. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for my sin. I believe that you rose again for my justification. Right now, I receive your life into my spirit. I acknowledge you as my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. From tonight till forever, I'm a child of God. I go from glory to glory and grace to grace. Amen. Let me speak a blessing upon you. Father, thank you for this ones. The Bible declares that as many who will come to you, you will in no wise cast away they have come. I declare by the authority of Scripture that their sins are forgiven. I call them bona fide recipients of the life of God. The grace to live the victorious Christian life is imparted upon you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now, just one instruction very quickly. I'm told that you are to move to my right. That will be your left from where you're standing. There are counselors waving a card. You can see them. Please do follow them. They will have a word with you quickly. And then you will join us at the service. Let's honor them as they go. Give them a big God bless you. Amen. Please, you may be seated, everyone. You may be seated. May the Lord bless you. Hallelujah. Pastor Mosfema, it's an honor. Thank you. Thank you so much. I have a very unique assignment tonight, and I want to work with the time that I have. And this assignment will require the attention of everyone. This was not my intended discussion tonight. I wanted to teach on something else, continuing from where we started off yesterday, but the burden of the Spirit came upon me so strong, and I believe that what I'm about to share is going to be a tremendous blessing, not just to us here, but to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. The only reason why I'm doing this is because it came as a strong burden in my heart. The Bible says in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, Romans 15 verse 4, media, please, let's work together so we can redeem time. Thank you. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, it says they were written for our learning, so that we through patience and the comfort of the Scripture might find hope. So the Bible tells us that there are things that have been written aforetime, and that these things were written because a generation would come in the future that would need to learn from it. Hallelujah. The Bible says the thing that is the thing that was, and is the thing that is to come again. We can always learn from history. And I want to just read out a series of discussions that I believe will position us to step into this prophetic season that God has brought upon our lives and that has now come upon the body of Christ. I wrote something here, and I'm going to do a lot of reading. Most of my discussion is the final session. I'm going to do a lot of reading as it sinks in by the Spirit to your heart. Are you ready? I wrote this here and I want you to listen. In discussing the subject of flight, there is one factor that sustains the power to hinder the takeoff, to hinder the continuity, and even to hinder the arrival of any aircraft. That means if you're discussing the subject of flight, there are many factors that are responsible for an aircraft lifting. The mechanics of the aircraft itself and the presence of the aircraft, are we together? The airport staff doing their work, the pilot and the crew. But there is one factor that sustains the power to hinder the takeoff, the continuity and the arrival of any aircraft, regardless the preparation. The same limitation applies to any kind of movement, whether by land, whether by sea, and whether by air. And the name of that is the weather condition. The weather condition can veto the preparedness of the aircraft. No matter how prepared the aircraft is, no matter how prepared the pilot is, no matter how dexterous they are in terms of their skill, even if it is a brand new aircraft, that all of that preparation will ultimately depend on the weather condition. Are we learning now? And the first effect of bad weather is reduced visibility. The moment there is bad weather, usually the pilots are prohibited from lifting, taking off, for among many reasons, they are not able to see far enough. Now, bad weather always leads to delay of flight. It can lead to cancellation of flight, and at extreme levels can lead to a plane crash. Follow my discourse. Whenever there is a bad weather, regardless how prepared the aircraft is, regardless how dexterous the pilot is, regardless how intelligent the crew members are, once there is a bad weather, in fact, it does not matter the kind of dignitary that wants to travel. The moment there is a bad weather, you will be forced to experience delay in flight, sometimes cancellation of the flight, and sometimes, at extreme measures, a plane crash. We see the effect of weather in Mark chapter 4, reading from verse 35 to 39. Every time I read this scripture, I am amazed, because we are talking about Jesus here and his team. You would think because it was Jesus, the weather would spare him. Give me that scripture, please. Mark 4:35. The same day, when the even was come, the Bible says, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. So this was a proposition for motion, advancement, to make progress. Next verse. We're reading to 39. And when he had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. The Bible says, and there were also with him, verse 36, please, so we finish up. There were also with him those in the other little ships. Verse 37 now. The Bible says, there arose a storm of wind. That was not the initial plan. They had started their journey. But somewhere along the line, the Bible says, there arose a storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, Jesus now, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? In other words, this was not a making of ourselves. But now that we are faced with an extreme weather condition that can impede our movement, are you not concerned that we can lose our lives? That this venture can cost us our lives? Next verse. Let me show you how Jesus responds to the weather. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, shalom, be still. And the wind ceased and there was great calm. If you're following, say amen. Amen. So we see from scripture that weather, the weather condition, even for the eagle. You know, I read something interesting while preparing this note. I don't have the time to read it. I wish I did. I would have read for you something about the eagle. that even the eagle, as bold and strong as it is noted for having an ability to navigate through harsh weathers. But there is a level of harshness that when it gets, it will resort back to stay no matter how long for its own safety. The eagle for you. So no matter how prepared the eagle is as a bird or an aircraft is, as a mechanism for flight, if the weather condition is not conducive, if the wind and the tides do not support it, are we together? The air traffic control system will have to stop it for as long as the weather is not clear. Now my discussion begins. Many believers and high flyers are like planes waiting at the tarmac for clearance to fly. I told you this is a unique assignment I have tonight. Or like the eagle waiting for extreme stormy weathers to subside so that they can fly. There are many, many people. You imagine times where there are so many planes at the tarmac with people who are angry, impatient, waiting to catch their trips, meet up with their business meetings, and for the simple reason that the weather was not conducive, they will be grounded there no matter how long. At least I remember once in my life I've been kept at the airport for over 9 hours. That was in Ilorin or so. We thought it was just something. I don't want to tell you the story, it doesn't look good. Somebody came and collected our plane. This is what happened. It's not that we came late. Someone came and we were with our tickets. They collected our plane and left. And they comforted us that it was going to be all right, only to leave by 9 or 9:30. And people were shouting, recording, angry. I just sat quietly and said, Lord, I'm grateful for being alive. Let this thing just take me home. Hallelujah. Now listen, please. The current church climate is not good weather for flights. Listen carefully. The current church climate is not good weather for flights. And if not checked, it will become a stormy weather that may ground many destinies and stop many eagles from soaring. The church of God today across the nation of the earth, particularly the church in Nigeria, can be classified, I wrote here, into several groups according to their core emphasis. It will be good news at the end, so you listen. Hallelujah. Let me comfort you. You know, Revelation already ends by telling you there is a new Jerusalem. Number one, we have church expressions with emphasis on subjects of deliverance and demons and so on and so forth. We have expressions of the church with emphasis on success and destiny fulfillment. We have expressions within the church with emphasis on prayer and intimacy with the Holy Spirit. We have expressions like the word of faith here, ably manifesting that dimension with the advocacy for the priority of the word, the supremacy of the word. We have expressions with emphasis on the prophetic. Please listen. We have expressions with emphasis on discipleship and mentorship. We have expressions on the apostolic, usually with teachings and then signs and wonders. We have emphasis on the message of grace. Great men like Apostle Grace Lubega is a core area. You find others like Joseph Prince, amazing people. I'm calling names because it's an honorable thing to say. Are we together now? I only mention names when I'm speaking well and speaking blessed and speaking good of people. Honorable people serving the grace of God. Now, there are dimensions of the church that have an emphasis on missions. I was privileged to come from a core Orthodox background, and growing up, that was almost everything every Sunday. Prayed for missions, and everything we're doing was towards missions. It's a prophetic message. I want you to listen. And then, of course, we have what we call the core Orthodox expression. I'm just classifying the body of Christ for you according or with respect to the core areas of emphasis. And having brought this before you, I want you to note the following. Number one, every one of these expressions in my opinion, truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Every one of these expressions I have listed, regardless their core emphasis, in my opinion and my experience with those circles and those expressions, they believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It matters that you follow what I'm saying. Number two, every one of these expressions has a scriptural backing that supports their operation. Everyone. You go to one who has an emphasis on deliverance, he will show you scriptures that support their operation. You go to one who is training people, raising giants, kingdom entrepreneurs, they will support what they are doing with scripture. So the second point to note is that every one of these expressions aforementioned has a scriptural backing that supports their operations. Number three, every one of these expressions have sufficient evidences and testimonies to support and advocate their continuity. Are you following what I'm saying now? That every one of these expressions that I mentioned, every one of them can bring you evidences and can bring you testimonies that support and advocate their continuity. So for instance, you go to the person who is delivering people, he will bring for you evidences upon evidences of people who were oppressed, were delivered, you will see before and after. You go to the man who has been granted access to teach on success, he will show you how the influence of the kingdom is contributing and has contributed to the program of God. Every one of these expressions, are we following now? You go to the man who has an emphasis on prayer. He will show you how a weak, flesh-driven believer molted out through prayer, like a snake molds out to have a more superior version of itself, to become a powerful prophet, a powerful apostle. So every one of these expressions have sufficient evidences and sufficient testimonies to both support and advocate their continuity. The point to note number four. Every one of these expressions I mentioned have significant followership to defend their core emphasis. Every one of this area, whether it's deliverance or the grace message or the word of faith, they have sufficient global followership to arise, to the need arise, to defend their core emphasis. I will tell you why I'm listing all this. Walk with the Spirit of God. Number five. Every one of these expressions. Now listen as I say this. Believe that they have the most superior and refined understanding of the Christian life as God intended. Every one of these expressions, in my experience, believe that they have the most superior and refined understanding of the Christian life. I've had the honor of living with, preaching for, and interacting with several of these expressions across the body of Christ, and we've had moments to engage in love, and I have been really, really touched by the confidence that comes from every one of these expressions. And in all honesty and with all due respect, their proposition is that they sustain, based on their experience, the most superior expression of the Christian experience. So for instance, and with all due respect, when you meet the evangelicals, they will tell you they are at the epicenter of the will of God. The reason is because of their committal to missions. What else can be greater than souls? And you cannot speak against it. And then you go to one who has been granted grace for prayer. He will tell you, even Jesus said, pray for the Lord of the harvest. You pray that laborers will come. Are we together now? So every one of these expressions in their proposition believe and even emphasize that they sustain the most superior and the most refined version of the Christian faith or the Christian experience. The final point to note is that every one of these expressions have systems and structures to guarantee longevity. Everyone, they have put systems and structures by wisdom, administration, results, and conviction. That means that they will be here for a very long time. Is someone learning? Now, as much as I've told you these points to note, and I've broken the body of Christ with respect to the areas of emphasis, there are three dangers that God must help us correct. And thank God for a platform like this. Please, I want you to listen. Danger number one, and I told you that the reason why the aircraft has not been able to lift is because the weather. And we are trying to do something about the spiritual climate that has tampered with the flight of people. There are many prophets in the making, apostles in the making, great ministries that are at the tarmac of destiny, waiting for a long time because the weather is not conducive for their flight. There are many eagles delaying by the calendar of prophecy, and the reason is because the weather is not conducive for their flight. Three dangers. Number one, the first danger that I believe the Spirit of God wants to help the body overcome is a growing hatred among Christians, including ministers of the gospel. And that hatred is based on their spiritual affiliations, convictions, and viewpoints. It started as a subtle drive, but is now gaining confidence and visibility. There seems to be a growing hatred among Christian believers, including ministers of the gospel, and it is based on spiritual affiliations, it is based on differences in convictions, and it is based on viewpoints. Danger number one. Danger number two is that there is now, and even growing, a gross confusion across the body of Christ as to who is correct and what viewpoint is more superior. A growing confusion as to who is correct in light of these various areas of emphasis, especially among new believers. There's so much instability in convictions, particularly among believers who are starting out. You know why? Because it looks like now that the internet has granted access, everybody's view can be presented. And so the average believer is almost distorted in his stability. It is a danger that if not corrected, we will not soar. Some flights will not leave. If that weather remains bad and stormy and hazy, certain aircraft will be grounded until they no longer can walk. Who is learning? So danger number one has to do with the growing hatred because of the disparity of areas of emphasis. Number two, the gross confusion across the body of Christ. And this is as a result of the press to know who is right or what concept should be embraced. And the confusion is a sincere one. The confusion is an attempt to walk in accuracy and to not be beguiled. The average believer who sincerely loves God does not want to live and camp around error, around defeat, and so they are in an honest search. Who is right and what is right? Error, danger number three. Well, I wrote here, still on point two, that every aspect of the Christian faith right now, and I'm not just talking of the body of Christ in Nigeria, Africa and the globe, every aspect of the Christian faith, Pastor, is being tested and probed, including the pillars. To the very pillars of the Christian faith, it is being tested and it is being probed by all and sundry, from nation to nation, from preacher to preacher. The pillars of salvation are being probed. The triune nature of God, the concept of repentance, what does it take to be born again? All of these concepts that were once taken for granted have come under scrutiny. Who is learning? There is an ever-growing probe into many Christian concepts. There are new ideas being introduced. Some of those ideas are liberating and some of them are disturbing. Very disturbing. Are we learning now? The third danger that the Lord is bringing to the consciousness of the church as we seek to soar into new prophetic dimensions and horizons is that sadly, God's end time program stands the risk of being threatened if this continues. God's program of world evangelization, God's program of discipleship and transformation, God's program of societal transformation stands the risk, and in fact, in many regards, is being threatened right now in light of some of these things. Three dangers. Please do not forget. A growing hatred among Christians. Isn't it sad how you see some of these things, that there are people who can literally sit down and just because you see a handband belonging to another ministry, or you see someone carrying, you know the person becomes an enemy without knowing anything about him. There is a subtle divide and rule system that hell is presenting to the church, and if we fall for that trap, we will not fly. Are we together? To the point where family members sometimes cannot see eyeball to eyeball. Couples have had harsh disagreements on grounds of convictions, and sometimes who is for Paul and for Apollos. This is Wolfbeck. Are we learning? Gross confusion. I feel very sad, especially for new believers, because you can see the confusion. And you see, because God has given grace to be articulate and to speak sound, it doesn't matter who you listen to, you will not go without an effect. It doesn't matter if it will change later on, but at the time you are listening, it will come with such compelling evidence and power. We stand the risk of losing a whole generation to error and confusion. The things that are written aforetime. This is not the first time it is happening. It's happened before. You read through church history, you will find out that there have been moments where these dangers were left carelessly, and Satan took advantage of it and aborted many prophetic moves of God. Many awakenings and revivals fell to the carelessness of the church. Are we together now? Now let me present to you what I call my humble submission. And this is the core of my discussion. I started by letting you see the various expressions in the body of Christ with respect to their emphasis. And I told you three dangers that the Lord has pointed to me to reveal to the body of Christ in love and righteousness. That there is a growing hatred, whether among ministers, among believers, and it's largely due to differences in convictions and affiliations. Number two, there is a consequent confusion that is coming upon many believers, especially younger believers, as to what is right and what path to follow. Number three, that the program of God stands the risk of being tampered with and even aborted across many spheres on account of these. Here's my humble submission. If you love Jesus, if you love the body of Christ, then please listen. Number one, every believer in Christ, my humble submission, I believe that every believer in Christ is free to practice and advocate their beliefs and their spiritual convictions, but they must do so responsibly, showing honor and regard to other believers. This is my first submission, that it does not matter what you have chosen to be your area of focus and emphasis. Jesus himself gives us the liberty of expression. The laws of the land give us the liberty of expression, but that practicing and advocating our dimensions of belief based on the revelation of God that we have must be done responsibly, showing honor and regard to other believers. Derogatory and insightful statements against individuals, against churches, must be minimized, if not completely avoided. Let me tell you, if this is not dealt with, there will be trouble. One day, believers will stand on the road and begin to fight themselves until the government is forced to interfere and say, since you cannot coordinate yourselves, you have given us liberty to come in. Are we together? I personally don't have a problem with whatever anybody feels to practice, whatever dimension shown to him. Are we together? But that it must be practiced responsibly, giving honor to other dimensions too. I cannot be sad and hate you and antagonize you just because I feel you do not hold my emphasis as your emphasis. Are we together now? Praise the name of the Lord. There are people, prayer for 1 hour, 2 hours, 5 hours in their understanding of God, and I don't know how they got there, but it is useless to them. There are people who fasting, for instance, is useless. There are others that is the epicenter of their Christian advocacy. There are others who do not believe that giving so much investment to the word is necessarily profitable. There are others who know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. Are we together now? So you see that if we want to be able to create a clear weather and take away this doctrinal, I hope you know the Bible calls doctrines winds too. Every wind of doctrine. And I tell you, the cloud is not conducive for flight. Many great champions and giants have been marking time at the tarmac, wanting to fly based on prophecy, but interrupted by all of these things. Are we learning? So my submission number one, that every believer in Christ, regardless how you were mentored, regardless your area of emphasis, I believe that they are free to practice and advocate their beliefs and spiritual convictions, albeit that they must do so responsibly, showing honor and regard to other believers. There are people I've met, I have a few friends, we don't necessarily agree in everything, but it's too small a reason to met out hatred on one another. Are we together now? I have gone to preach in several places, I have my reservations over everything there. There are people who love me, but they have their reservations over certain principles and practices. But that is not enough reason to met out hatred. It will end up, you see, let me tell you, when the weather is bad, all planes stay down. Whether you are KLM, whether you are British Airways, the weather affects everyone. Nobody has a unique privilege of flying under a bad weather. If the problem is with the runway, smaller planes can leverage on that and fly. But we are talking of a weather problem. All planes will be affected. All eagles will be affected. Are we learning? The use of derogatory and insightful statements against individuals, against churches, it must be minimized, if not avoided. Nigeria has such a unique apostolic grace that whatever is birthed here becomes sold to the world. It spreads like wildfire. Let us beware lest we lose out of an opportunity to reflect Christ and to reveal him with all grace and honor. Number two, I have to hurry up. Who is learning? My humble submission number two is that I do not believe these various church expressions will diminish. I do not believe all of these expressions, regardless how far apart they are, I do not believe they will diminish. Not in influence, nor in strength of convictions. I have read my Bible. Everything men fought, regardless how they fought it, it didn't die. All the various expressions we see today, I submit to you, as a student of scripture, a student of history, and by the privilege of access to the wisdom of the Spirit, will still be here for a very long time. Still in influence and in strength of conviction. The truth is that many in these circles will switch convictions, but many will still maintain their stand on what they believe, and that must be respected. Are we together? Listen. Fighting, wishing, and advocating the degeneration or the downfall of any church expression will only prove to be a waste of time. to fight secretly or openly, to wish secretly or openly, to desire the degeneration and the downfall of any church expression, either based on the fact that you do not agree with their advocacy, I tell you in advance, prophetically so, it will end up being a waste of time. One time the disciples heard that there was another camp that were performing miracles and were doing certain things, and Jesus was there, and they asked Jesus, they said, you can't allow this kind of thing to be happening. He said, please give us the permission to command fire to burn those people once and for all, so that it will be clear who is Jesus and who is for him. And Jesus said, do you not know what manner of spirit you have? Are we together now? There's a statement that Jesus made in the Bible that we, if you look at it contextually, you would think he's talking about poverty, but there is a prophetic meaning to it. He says, the poor you will always have with you. Sila, the poor you will always have with you. Why would Jesus make such a statement? The poor you will always have with you. I think the time that is taken to wish for and advocate the degeneration of other expressions in the body of Christ can be invested in intercession. That if you believe that a brother or another ministry or a man of God has not seen correctly, shouting and advocating your annoyance will not change. Why don't you deploy intercession? The Bible says, from the time after we heard of it, we cease not to pray. That is the first response of a believer. You cease not to pray. Who is learning? Number three, let's hurry up. Let me give you my third submission. Are you ready? Let us give truth room to vindicate itself. Let us give truth room to vindicate itself. Truth was buried in the grave. After 3 days, it came back to life. On its own, unassisted. If we have to assist truth, the character of truth is that it has a system of self-defense. Truth for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8 says, for we can do nothing against the truth. We can do nothing against the truth. If worship is the truth, it will not die, sir. If praying in tongues is the truth, it will not die. If discipleship is the truth, it will not die. If prayer is the truth, it will not die. You can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Who is learning? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, from verse 10. Let me hurry up. From verse 10, let's see if we can. It says, according to the grace of God, listen, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, Wolfbeck, and another buildeth upon. It says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. 11. It says, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is already laid, even Christ Jesus. Verse 12. Now, if any man build upon that foundation gold, the Bible acknowledges that the building will not be of the same material. It already tells you that some will be able to outsource gold, the extent of the superiority of their building material. Others will use silver. Others will use precious stone. Sadly, others will use wood. Others will even use hay. And the Bible recognizes that all of it is an attempt to make that building. There is already a system in the wisdom of God to vet what is true. Next verse. The Bible says, every man's work, how many? Doesn't matter what you believe. Doesn't matter what you agree with or don't agree with. It says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. There is already a system in the economy of God to frustrate everything that frustrates God's program. God would not design a system with so much loopholes as we are suffering to try to patch. It took his intelligence to build the church. He said, I will build my church. The church is not as weak as we make it look. It is a product of God's intelligence. Let's respect the intelligence and the investment that went into building the church. Are we together? Remember, someone saw the ark of God and it looked like it was going to fall, and attempting to help, he died. Truth has the ability to defend itself. Has the ability. I think it was in the afternoon when I went, I was listening to Apostle Grace. He was sharing his content and I was so touched. He was speaking about the fact that, you know, persecutions and all of this have come on account of the grace message that he has communicated, and he so intelligently and articulately put those groupings, you know, it was such an intelligent presentation of it. But do you know, I can tell you, even if you doubt it, you see, the work can be tried by fire. You cannot fight what is of God, it will stand. It doesn't matter how you go around it, it will stand. Are we together? The word of faith has been fought. It's been fought. Read history. Missions have been fought. Emperor Nero gathered people together. If you read the book of Acts chapter 5, I hope you know that when they kept the apostles, an angel came and brought them out and they said, these guys are here again. We are going to learn a lesson from the wisdom of a strange man called Gamaliel. Gamaliel gave a counsel that the body of Christ must listen to. Are we together? The things that are written aforetime. This problem has happened before. Let us heed to the counsel of Gamaliel. Acts chapter 5 from verse 34. If God is helping you, say amen. It says, there stood up one of the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor in the law. He had a reputation among all the people and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Reading to 39. And he said unto them, can we read NIV? Please help me with NIV. I want us to see this from NIV Media. Same scripture, NIV. God is helping the body of Christ. Because after this conference, someone is going to soar. You will suddenly find out that the weather across the body of Christ is becoming clear. Clear for prophecy to speak in your life. Clear for you to rise. Let's continue. He addressed the men and said, consider carefully. So they wanted to kill the apostles. That was the plan. To kill them because they were advocating something they were not comfortable with. And Gamaliel gave a warning. He said, consider carefully what you intend to do to this man. Verse 6, he began to give illustrations. Illustration number 1. Some time ago, Theodorus appeared claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. You don't have to be real to be followed. Any thought line that has persuasion, confidence, and a system of defense will attract some kind of followership. But Gamaliel is saying, no, I need to teach you something. I may not believe these apostles, but I am a doctor. I have experience. Let's learn from history. He said 400 men rallied around him. Watch this. He was killed and all his followers were dispersed, and it came to nothing. Example number 2. After him. Are you seeing that it did not start now? After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed and his followers were scattered. Verse 38. Therefore, on account of history, I present in the present case, I advise that you leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, help me. It will what? It will what? It will fail. Next verse, 39. But if it is from God, if for any reason it is from God, you will not be able to stop this man. You will only find yourself fighting against. Preachers must simply present the truth they know and believe and allow it to be tested against the truth. Present the truth. If God has granted you the healing ministry, present the Jesus that heals and let him defend, let the truth there defend itself. Developing personal hatred because of differences will only lead us to confusion. Let us give truth room to defend itself. Number four, let's hurry up. Who is learning tonight? Now hear this. Here is the balance. Within the boundary of loyalty and willful submission, preachers owe it to protect the people committed to them against unnecessary distractions. Within the boundary of loyalty and willful submission, preachers owe it to protect the people committed to them against unnecessary distractions. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. It says, take heed to yourselves. Acts 20:28. Take heed to yourself, he says, and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost made you overseers. He says, to feed the church of God which he had purchased with his own blood. I love the people God has brought under my care, and as much as I have a contribution to helping the body of Christ stand, my priority with respect to my call is to see that my people are fed well. And as far as the dimension of God committed to me is concerned, I will serve them with grace and excellence. The day I learn more, it will be reflected in their growth too. No man of God should be careless and allow their sheep under. Heaven said we should allow truth. I'm bringing this to balance it. Are we together? Within the boundary of loyalty and willful submission, preachers owe it to protect the people committed to them. Let me tell you this. If you are a preacher, sustain the courage to protect the people God has given you. It's not insecurity, it's responsibility. Number five, there's a prayer point at the end of this. Are you ready? My fifth submission, we must all obtain grace. Hey, listen to this one. Say amen first. Amen. We must all obtain grace to confront and deal with our fears, our insecurities, our hurts, and our pain, so that we do not vent it out through the platform of church and preaching. You see, let me tell you this. There are many people whose trouble has nothing to do with denomination or the problems on earth. It's a problem of childhood. They were hurt. They are we together now? And you see, psychology teaches us that when you are hurt and wounded, you will look for any platform to give your pain expression. And if it happens to be on the pulpit, sorry for those who listen to you. If it happens to be in your company, sorry for those who work under you. There are people who get angry with their staff, angry with people. Their best is not enough. When you probe, you find out it has nothing to do with the secretary. The secretary is just a scapegoat responding to a man's 20-year pain that only the Spirit of God can heal. Someone say, I receive healing. Say it on behalf of the body of Christ. I receive healing. Only wounded people wound others. If Joseph were not healed, he would kill his brothers. The reason why he could not kill his brothers is because he was healed. Throw me in a dry well. And then Potiphar's wife with her own trouble again. If I were Joseph, if I come out of that prison, who do you think I'll call first? But the man was healed. Let me tell you the truth. The healing anointing goes beyond physical healing. There are many people who need healing that will be traced back to 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. When your father said you will not make it, now that you have become a CEO, it's an opportunity to rub off that statement on your subordinates. And you know, the thing about spirituality is that because the Holy Ghost and our work with him is personal, we give him the credit for all the nonsense. We mix both what he said and what came from our pain, and we present it. The word of God is able to divide, to go beyond the, are we together? The bone marrows. You can see that Joshua Selman is preaching. From here to here is the counsel of God. From here to here is his pain. He's on his own. Both Cain and Abel are there while he's preaching. And you know Cain is older than Abel. Listen, I hope you are not just shouting. This is a prophetic message. Listen, obtain grace. Don't be ashamed of your childhood. Obtain grace to confront and deal with your fears. Obtain grace to deal with your insecurities. Obtain grace to deal with your hurt. Obtain grace to deal with your pain, so that you will not bleed it out to innocent people. There are parents today who have wounded their children. It has nothing to do with the child. The child in them, the one who was told will never make it, is seeking for someone to domineer over. And if it happens to be your wife or your child or your members or other ministerial people, let me tell you the truth. Many things we have credited to the Holy Ghost, I can tell you from the authority of Scripture, the character of our behavior shows he has no hand in it. The Bible defines the modus operandi of the Spirit. Just because he's invisible does not mean he's scattered. There is a rhythm to his behavior. The Word of God opens up the way the Spirit behaves. How then do you discern? How did Solomon discern? Was it not when he carried the sword? The Word of God is a discerner. Number six. Every believer, and indeed every faith expression within the body of Christ, must define and probe their statement of faith. You see, when God speaks prophetically like this, it's because he's seen the future. Every believer and every faith expression. In Koinonia, there's what we call the Koinonia believer. And the meaning of that is to define to every believer what you are becoming by submitting to this grace. We use the Word of God to paint a picture. This is the kind of Christian you are becoming if you are mentored through this platform. And if you don't like it, you know immediately. There's something called course curriculum. Is that right? And it's intended to give the student a picture of what you will become after the training. It's not only the lecturer that knows what the student will become. The student can have an idea of what you'll become based on the course curriculum. Listen, we need to redefine our statement of faith. The average believer in Nigeria cannot articulate clearly what he believes. In my training with the Anglican, we were taught something we call the Apostles' Creed. You still remember? It is a statement in defense of what you believe. Luke chapter 1. My time is up. My apologies. From verse 1. Let me show you something and then we'll pray. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which were most surely believed. Most surely believed. Verse 2. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Verse 3 now. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto you in order, most excellent Theophilus. Believers, shout verse 4 with all your heart. Ready, one, to go. That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Don't just mentor believers. Paint a picture. What do you believe? What do you not believe? There has to be clarity. There are things I believed before, I don't believe again. There are things I didn't believe before, I believe now. There are things I didn't believe before, I still don't believe them. There are things I believed before, I still believe them. I have a creed that governs my life. This is where my convictions come from. A believer that does not have a statement of faith is one who will be tossed to and fro. It's better to be honestly wrong so that you can know what to counsel and what to add. Who is learning? You want the tide to clear so that the flight will happen? You must define your statement of faith. Let me give you the last and then we'll pray. This was the message. God interrupted my plan. Took days and weeks to plan what I wanted to do tonight, but God just came and brought this. And like Paul, necessity is laid on me. If I neglect this instruction, my heart and my conscience will not give me peace. What is the fourth submission? Walk in love. even in the midst of different views, we can walk in love. The Bible says three profound things about love. Number one, it calls it the more excellent way. 1 Corinthians 13:13. The more excellent way of doing anything is to do it in love. The more excellent way of preaching, preach in love. The more excellent way of doing business, do it in love. The more excellent way of correcting, correct in love. The more excellent way of building, build in love. Love is the more excellent way. If you've tried other strategies, why don't you try love? Number two, the second thing the Bible says about love, very quickly, is that love is the noblest spiritual quality any believer can manifest. Colossians chapter 3, 12 to 14. Love, not power. Love, even faith, that is the core, the just lives by that faith. The Bible says faith worketh by love. If you have a love problem, it will naturally degenerate into a faith problem. Are we together? Colossians chapter 3, 12 to 14. Just write for reference. The noblest quality a believer can manifest is love. In fact, I wrote here that the highest proof of transformation is not knowledge, but love. The proof you are really transformed is not spiritual intelligence necessarily, but love. Every growth that has to take away love from your life as the price is not God-ordained growth. Growth that comes from God by God and in keeping with His principles will necessitate that the love of God also grows in you. Are we together? Praise the name of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord gave me this for the body of Christ, that in addressing some of these dangers, in addressing some of these, and you know, I submit to you that my sincere pain, now I've not been so long in ministry. This year will make it 20 years. I've not been in ministry for so long. But I can tell you this by the grace of God. Listen, please. A 20-year-old anything is an adult at least. Relative to fathers, we are children. But at least we have something to say after this long. By the mercies of God, I've had the honor of preaching across almost any and every denomination whose emphasis was listed here. And I can tell you one thing. Love never fails. There are people today who will invite you to their platform, not necessarily because of what you are going to share. You carry a dimension of love that becomes profitable for the growth of their organization, and you still remain an asset, even if you don't have what to say. Are we learning? I made up my mind, not just because my name is the way to love, that I will walk by the law of love. As you see me like this, bar, hatred is too heavy for my head. There's no reason for me to lack sleep. When I lie down, if I'm not sleeping, I'm walking or maybe praying. But if that is not the case, oh, he giveth his beloved sleep. This man you see, no. You will not find me awake for worry. It's an unnecessary luggage. Some of you right now, as it stands, it is the one thing that has stopped you from rising. You pray in tongues, but there is no love. No love at all. And you see, when you talk about the matters of love, for many believers, it sounds elementary. If you are talking prayer, fasting, that's right. You are talking serious things. But when love sounds feminine, what are you, know? And yet, that is what killed and destroyed sin, Satan. It was not power. It was love. Where power failed, love continued. Jesus would have used his power to send 10,000 angels. But he said, no, this is beyond power. He moved past the realm of love and died to save us. Power would have saved him, but not us. It was love that saved all of us together. Hallelujah. It is my honest desire, beyond being a preacher, that as God grants us grace and as our influence continues to grow, that by his mercy will be model enough for the body of Christ to be able to correct some of these imbalances, so that when we stand by faith, we stand in love. Do you know that the destinations may differ, but all planes leave from the same airport. The one going to Enugu still starts from Lagos. The one going to Maiduguri still starts from Lagos. The one going to Abuja. Are we together now? The tarmac was meant for everyone. Once you take the flight, you can diverge to your various areas of calling. But at the point of takeoff and landing is the same airport. Imagine the body of Christ without a grace like Pastor Poju. Imagine the body of Christ without Pastor Amos Fenwa, Apostle Grace Lubega, Joshua Selman. You think I won't call my name? Imagine the body of Christ without a Minister Dunson. Are we together? My time is up. Hear me. He that hath an ear. Now, rise up and hold hands, one scripture, and then we'll pray. Hallelujah. Please hold hands with someone. We need to pray this prayer together. Because in the name of Jesus, that stormy wind will clear over the church. And several flights, prophetic flights, apostolic flights, worshiper flights, business flights, all kinds of flights will begin to take place. And the eagles that have long overstayed on the ground, hanging around the ground, will now find room to fly. Weather affects everything. It doesn't matter what you believe. If the church remains a stormy weather, it will affect you. If it does not affect you, it will affect your wife who is connected to you, your child who is connected to you, their school which is connected to you, their business which is connected to you. Genesis chapter 8, from verse 1 to 3, this is what God is doing with tonight's teaching. And God remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. As a result, God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. Verse 2. And the fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven also stopped, and rain from heaven was restrained. Verse 3. And the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. All the animals could now come out. Those to fly could fly. Those could go out, because the Lord remembered Noah. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, at the end of it, the only person who will be put to shame is Satan. Did you hear what I said? At the end of it, it will not be the Orthodox Church. It will not be the word of faith. It will not be the Pentecostals. It will not be the charismatics. I submit to you that we are operating at different levels of light. That's for sure. And the lives that we have determines the kinds of results and the exploits that come. It says the people that start have seen a great light. But even if the believer has the least light, it is a contribution to the body that should be respected. If you saw Saul, when he was tall, you would not think he would be an asset to the body. Let us give those who have lesser light a chance to see it and grow. While we enjoy the abundance of light that God has brought through conferences like Wolfbeck, do not allow your growth bring a superiority mentality that you go back and someone is preaching and you say, this reverend in this church preaching nonsense. No. If God took time to show you light, it took you 10 years to find the light. Be patient. There are people today who may not be at this sight of higher light, but be patient. The Holy Ghost is working. If you don't trust the church, trust the Spirit of God. One prayer point. Father, visit the body of Christ. Bring back love. Bring back honor. Advance your program through the church. Open your mouth and pray. Restore love. Restore love. Restore love. Let the stormy winds that have come as a result of difference in doctrines, let the confusion that has come as a result of the various pastors,
perspectives we have seen. Let it not tamper with the glory of the church. Please pray. This is the final session. 1 minute. We are praying. Shamika parakos kediata. Emprateke bereke paratos yata. In the name of Jesus. Listen. Honestly, I tell you sincerely, and not because he's here. This is the reason why I respect and honor Pastor Poggio. For the discernment to be able to spread his hand. Are we together now? And reach out to the furthest of convictions. It is a risk to open up your platform at a global scale and allow people to come and stand here without vetting, knowing that there can be differences. It is because he trusts the stability of the Spirit. I think we should honor him for that. Sincerely. 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 Hallelujah. Let me submit to you. And I was born in this country. I didn't come from overseas. I've lived long enough. By the message of God, I've been to pastors' conferences. I've been to many meetings. I do not know so many meetings that have this heterogeneous collection of people across the body of Christ and serving God's grace from various perspectives. What you cannot learn from Joshua Stellman, you will learn from Apostle Grace Lubega. What you cannot learn from Apostle Grace Lubega, you will learn from Pastor Poggio himself. What you cannot learn from Pastor Poggio, by the time Dunstan raises that song, you will hear something through his worship. You see, this is what enhances growth. By the time this conference is ended, it is a little here, a little there, a little here, and you have become of stature. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm going to speak over your life. Oh, I see P. Daniels. May God bless you. Thank you. Now, these are the kinds of things we are saying. Is a man of God in his own regard, having the great work that God is doing through his life. But the unashamedness to come and sit and learn, knowing that there is more, is the character of champions. Let me tell you this. The days of celebrity Christianity has come to an end. Thank God for Joshua Stellman, but there are things I do not know. By the mercies of God, I've known God too much to be that stupid to believe I know everything. No. I will submit myself to the things I do not know. If I find something that challenges my thought, I will examine it open-heartedly like a Berean. Are we together? Let me tell you the truth. Every man of God that serves the grace of God that you know is worthy of your honor, beginning from your pastor. Do not be part of the campaign that downplays what God is doing. I see a CSC pastor today, an elder. If he's holding something, I will hold it for him. I see one of my old reverends. I don't care whether I'm Apostle Joshua Stellman. If he's carrying something, I will carry it and put it on my head. When I go for crusades and meetings somewhere, I thank the pastors. They are the reasons why members came for our programs. We are there for a few days and we go. But the people are there to stay. They may not have so much light, but what of their character? What of their discipline? I come from the north. I've seen people die for the gospel. I've seen people burn for the gospel. They had an opportunity for deliverance, but they say, if I will be delivered alone, let me die. We can pray in tongues, but can you stand? They may not have praying tongues, but can you watch a storm where they pierce your body one by one and you are still singing hymns till you die? We have something to learn from everybody. North, learn what you need to learn from the south. Humble yourself. South, learn from the north. Learn from the east. Pentecostals, if you cannot learn anointing and healing, let character from Orthodox. Learn character and stability. There is always something to learn. In the name of Jesus, we agree as the body of Christ. Satan, you have lost it over the church in Nigeria. From the north to the south, east to the west, Satan, you have lost it over the church. We pray for the church in Africa, from Ghana to South Africa to Uganda to Kenya, in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare we are a united, indomitable force serving the purposes of God. That even though we are different and we are still on a project to accessing light, it will not be enough reason for hatred. It will not be enough reason for fighting. The spirit of hatred is banished from the church. 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 In the name of Jesus. Where the prophet will respect the apostle, where the apostle will respect the teacher, where the teacher will respect the evangelist, where the evangelist will respect the businessman, where the businessman will respect the leader, where the leader will respect the politician. Because when all is said and done, it's from the same tarmac we have lifted. That tarmac is Jesus himself, the cornerstone.
Though we are many,